What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We are west, Ashburn, Virginia. Training camp for the Commanders. I don't even know what day it is because you start to lose track.
It's one of those days.
But there's a good vibe out there today. Good morning, Brian.
What up, brother?
Good vibe set by a lot of different reasons. Let's start with what we did last night to just make sure we thank folks. We both went out to the Mubadala City Open. Awesome time. It's such a cool event. It's the perfect mix of done super well, but still low-key.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ultimately. Yeah, I went over and I sat in the owner's suite, Mr. Mark Hine, and I want to just say, Mark, you and your whole crew put on a great show. Then he had seats right next to the court. Went down and checked that out as well. So had a lot of fun. Had me some nice Mayomi. I drank some Pinot Noir.
You love that Mayomi. That's your go-to.
I love some Pinot, dog. It was fun, you know?
Cool. You had your beautiful wife with you. I had my beautiful wife with me. I bounced around. I was in we were hanging with Danny Frank. We were hanging with Jim Hanley. Hanging with Leon Duncan. Poet was there.
I didn't see Poet.
I saw Poet. Jackie Bradford. We had a really good time. Saw some really good tennis. I got to watch both the one seeds. I think you did too. The guy one seed and then the woman one seed. The speed and tenacity with which they play tennis is just mind-boggling.
It is different. You can see with Sabalenka.
Yeah.
When she hit the ball, it moved at a different speed. But that young lady she was playing against, she pushed her.
Yeah, dude.
You can see she had some back spasms or something going on early. And she fought through it. I thought she was about to give it up. But, Mom was like, nah, she's not going to quit.
Yeah.
And she didn't. And she pushed to a third set. And Sabalenka had to play.
You stayed for the third
set.
She
talks to herself.
Did you stay for the whole third set?
No. I left a little bit after you did.
Okay.
She talks to herself a lot. She's a little strange.
There seems to be a lot going on upstairs. And, when you get to watch tennis like that up close, and there's not a bad seat in there. If you were in the top upper deck, you're still so close. Damn close.
It's like RFK used to be.
Yeah, totally.
You're real close to the field, to the play of action.
But you realize how mental tennis is for these people and just like how the range of emotions. I want to say good morning to the boys in the aquarium before we get underway and just go all training camp for 4 hours. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Professor Landini. How do you do?
What's up, fellas? I'm good.
What up, son?
Now, I did just want to make sure you guys saw that picture I dropped of Brian taking the tennis in and the lights reflecting off his dome at the
hey,
tennis
man,
court.
People can't hate that I have a great aura around me, man. Look, you can't hide
stars. I didn't
stars.
Post the picture.
You can't
post
it. You can't hide stars, dog. You know, whenever I show up, I shine. That's all.
You got to shine bright all the time.
Yeah, shine bright like a diamond.
All right. Football time, because there's a lot to discuss. Yesterday, when we were on the air, they signed Byron Pringle, right? And in a bubble, we were talking about it, and I kind of think we all thought, all right, they're going to need – they can't be thrilled with what they got at receiver. And this, to me, was about increasing the level of competition at receiver. Well, it ends up they were going to increase the level of competition in a lot of spots. The Commanders ended up releasing two guys from the roster. One, Dax Milne, frankly, I think was probably overdue. He didn't give you a heck of a lot of explosion on the field. They also released Demarrior Byrd, an undrafted guy. They signed Pringle, and they claimed kicker Riley Patterson off waivers from Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So in one day, in four moves, they clearly sent a message to the bottom of the receiver room that you guys aren't good enough. And they also added the kicker competition that, frankly, we've all been waiting for.
Yeah.
It was like sometimes.
I don't know if a message was sent to the bottom. A message was sent to one guy.
It was two guys.
Well,
two guys got released.
Yeah. The kid Byrd, you know, I didn't think he was going to make the team anyway. Milne, I don't know why he was on the team this long.
Right.
So basically, there's two guys that you feel they're not competing anyway.
Right. I mean, Byrd has been in the NFL, bounced around a while, kind of a fringe player. Pringle, I think, helps you possibly on the new kickoff return. But I just think I've been concerned about the bottom of the receiver group for a while. You've got Terry. You've got Jahan. Maybe you got Luke. To me, you don't have enough elsewhere there. People will bring up De'Ami Brown to me. De'Ami Brown – is a player with great speed. He can attack you vertically. But to make the vertical stuff work and some of those deep crossers he can run, you've got to be firm at the top of your route tree when you are making breaks. And he just hasn't done it for 3 years. It's why he hasn't gotten on the field for 3 years. Maybe that will change, but I'm going to have to see it. Like your thing, whenever there's rookies that take off well and – you're like, give me 4 games. See what happens after 4 games. Yeah. Like, I need 6 games of Diami.
Yeah, I mean,
contributing.
He needs some consistency. He would have probably admit he hadn't been consistent. He's shown he could do some things, but they don't use it very often. But the thing about it is, right now, I think Crowder does a lot for you. Pringle gives you a lot. The kids, Zacchaeus, can play. You know, so. They have enough. Like, the two dudes they released, that's 12, 13 on the roster.
I told
they wouldn't make the team anyway.
So I asked Dan Quinn about it because they've made significant roster. They flipped his roster this offseason, right? And you do wonder if their guys now get the edge. If the guys we drafted, we signed, we scouted, we're going to move them ahead of other guys. And I thought his answer was so real and honest, and he cursed, so we'd have to edit it to play it, but he's like, man, these are NFL ball players. They don't want to be BS'd.
Yeah.
And I just think, like I've always said, the locker room always knows, right? And the locker room knows when perhaps an undrafted guy gets released so that a drafted guy stays even when the undrafted guy outperformed him.
Yeah.
And that is, it's too early to declare that these guys aren't concerned in the self-preservation BS politics that we know exists in three quarters of NFL offices, but at least they're cognizant that it's a thing.
Yeah.
And he was asked specifically about Stromberg and Daniels. Those are draft picks from last year, relatively high, that haven't given you anything. And he's like, yeah, we're trying them at different positions, seeing what we got.
Yeah, but I think, you know, when you look at it, it's too early for someone to be in self-preservation.
Totally.
Right now, it's about I'm going to get the best players I can on the football field. And some of these guys that were drafted by Ron them and they didn't get on the field, they can't play. If you draft them and you don't put them on the field, they can't play. Normally, when you draft somebody, you give them a chance and they may prove they can't. But if they can't even get on the field, then obviously they can't play. So they made a mistake, point blank. And I think at this point now, it's about – let's get some guys out here. Let's try to put the people we believe will go out and do the things we want to get done. And when that happens, then we'll see.
I think you don't want to make too much out of what are probably normal roster moves, right? Like, let's not make a mountain out of a molehill when, to your point. So they haven't updated the website yet, right? And that's not a surprise. See? That's not a big thing. Like, if you're going to go through the receiver depth chart, you'd go – McLaurin, Dotson, probably McCaffrey, Brown. I'd go Crowder, Zacchaeus, Brown. That's six.
Pringle.
I'm saying they hadn't updated it from yesterday. Of the guys that are here, Kaz Allen, they've talked about. Tinsley was on this roster last year. Tremaine has continued to make plays.
Jack Saint, your boy.
Yeah, he's the only receiver with any real size at 6'4". So, like, we can get, what was that, 9 deep? Before Milne or Bird pop, right?
Yeah.
So, like, in a lot of ways, these are just normal roster moves. But Milne has good hands. I don't want to take that away from him. But, like,
I don't think
he should have been on the roster for 2 seasons,
the difference,
let alone
is this.
Going forward.
Back in the day, people got released at any time. Like, them getting released yesterday wouldn't have been a shock. In this day and age, they have a certain release date. So, when you release somebody outside of that, we have to start thinking about this stuff. It's just basically what happened in the past. In the past, you could see a guy show up today, and you be out there practicing with him, and then you go back in the locker room, and his locker's already clean. They just waiting to get the stuff that he had on the field. And you never were shocked when somebody got released. Now we're shocked when they release somebody outside of the actual cut day. So, but hell, they couldn't play. That's the main thing. And, you know, I don't think either one of those guys are, oh, we're going to let them go so they can catch on somewhere else. They could catch on somewhere else. Will they make that team? We don't know.
And you know what? Whether they catch on with somebody else or not, who cares?
Hey, that's where I'm at with it. I mean, they let two guys go that probably weren't going to make the team. That's how life's supposed to go.
Do you want to know what I honestly think will be the biggest kind of domino effect from the Dax Milne release?
What?
The one thing that I actually expect to happen now that Dax Milne has been released, Tress Way wears 15. Like, I think that's
the... Was that his number before?
No, but I...
10 and 5, 15?
Call it a guess. Yeah. There's a... Think about it this way.
You think if Tress wants 10, anybody else can take 10 from Tress?
No, but I don't know that he wants 10. He's made clear this isn't his final number.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people...
He liked an odd number.
There are a lot of people out there that have Way 5 jerseys. So you can just slap a 1 on there. Boom. You still got a Way.
Yeah, you got to slide over a little bit. It look awkward when you slap that 1 with that middle 5.
I'm playing a hunch, Brian, that I bet Tress ends up at 15. Maybe he stays at 10. I don't know. I think it's positive movement from the Commanders. I really like DQ's answers today. I asked him when he's expecting to see some level of separation from this receiver group, and he's like, you know, I don't know that answer. I'd love to see it. And he said, he's like, sometimes you love that there isn't separation because everybody's playing at a really high level. That ain't the case. That's probably not the case in most NFL training camps this time of year where you've got everybody playing at a high level. Mm-hmm. I also – a few things. So DQ talked today about we're going to step it up in one-on-ones, and they really haven't been running one-on-one competitions yet where you see tight ends and running backs going against linebackers in space. You see receivers going against DBs in space, mm-hmm. and you see linemen, D-linemen, O-linemen heads up against one another. It's incredibly important to point out that the wide receiver DB drill, and even more so the running back linebacker drill, the offense has all of the advantage. There's no rush on the quarterback. There's no safety help. There's no inside leverage. There's no nothing. It's just a receiver that knows where he's going to run and a linebacker that's guessing, right? Like, these things are – it doesn't mean you can't win them. But Dan Quinn – and I think Ron did this last year, so I don't only want to credit Quinn on this.
The good linebackers, you tell stories. If you're not a damn good route runner and a running back and setup, the linebacker knows exactly what you're running.
But then it breaks down and it's just like a playground get open drill.
But like, they need to.
Who was the worst for you to try to get open against?
Monty Coleman.
Yeah.
And I think the coaches have to understand when it's 3.5 to 4 seconds, if that ball hadn't been thrown, then your running back did not win or your receiver didn't
totally.
Win. They can't let it go 7-8 seconds. Nobody's covering nobody that long. Hell, quarterback can't have that much time to throw the ball. But it is a drill where running backs need to ask the linebacker after the play, did I give you any tips about what I was about to do? Because you give a lot of them off.
Sure. Just where your feet are going, where your eyes are going.
Yep, feet are going, eyes are going, the way your lineup point and all that. Like, I tried to act like I would have my right foot inside of the tackle's right foot on all of them. It doesn't look like I'm going to run a route because I'm trying to creep to the outside. And normally when you're trying to run the little counter trap to the T-counter to the other side, you normally get a little wider to get yourself some space. Same spot every damn time.
I think in the drills, McLaurin was getting open pretty regularly. Dotson was getting open pretty regularly. You saw Sanistrill's willingness to compete and get physical. You saw some handsy stuff that would absolutely get flagged in a real game. Specifically, Noah I, the corner they signed this offseason, seemed to be quite handsy.
Depending which which crew you get.
Yeah.
Some of them let him play.
Some good news out there was Benjamin St. Juice back at practice. He had missed some time the other day. The flip side of that is Cornelius Lucas not here today. Big Luke has personal reasons, excused absence. Stuff happens. It's real life. It's regular people out here. The lineman that stood out to me watching a little bit of O-line, D-line drills, I like Brandon Coleman, dude. I think they clearly identified that guy to be their left tackle, and I think he's looked good. I think there's no incumbent holding him back from the job, and I think left tackle is – saying his job to lose is too much, but it is certainly his job to win.
Was that Lucas?
No.
Coleman.
Coleman.
Well, the fact that they have been using him sparingly throughout the day and put him in different situations, and when Luke's not here, Coleman get more time.
No, it's Coleman started getting the time when Luke is here. Now, I'm the 11-on-11s at left tackle.
I know that. I'm saying when he's not here, he gets more time.
Sure.
At that position now, which in essence they want Coleman to be in that position. So just like my pops always told me, don't let somebody do your job that you can't take your job.
Right. I think the Lucas battle at this point is right tackle with Wiley, and Wiley's missed some work. There's a football game tonight, right? Like, the Commanders will be on the practice field against the Jets in a week. Whatever the Jets have going on, however nuts Rodgers is, whatever you want to say, that's a good football team. They have an absolute stud D-line. They've got maybe the best corner in football. That defense last year was super legitimate. Their offense has firepower. You're talking about Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, should he be right?
Well, Aaron and his receiver had a little argument yesterday on the sideline, didn't
they? I saw that. Yeah. Also, the video going around from Steelers camp is not the quarterbacks fighting. However, that rumor got started. Have you seen the fight?
No.
It's pushing and shoving. It looks like O-line, D-line, maybe some linebackers.
Most fights in training camp are pushing and shoving.
Right, but hold on.
And then they're tied the rest of the damn day.
Hold on, I got to show you this. Because some aggregator out there. Here, I'm going to let B watch it. The NFC North News on Twitter said, breaking, a fight has broken out between Steelers quarterback Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. All right, B, you watch that fight. You tell me if that looks like two quarterbacks are fighting at all. Not to mention the quarterbacks have other colored jerseys than everybody that's involved in the fight.
Russell Wilson and Justin, what's his name again?
Fields.
Fields are not even in the
Not even in the fight.
That's offense fighting defense.
Yeah. Like, I assume the Steelers quarterbacks wear red jerseys, but they sure as hell don't wear the same color jerseys as everybody
and
else.
And it's on X?
Yeah.
And this is where Elon Musk should just cancel the account when you put out blatant lies like that.
Yeah. All right, so maybe the Steelers quarterbacks do just wear the same white as the offense.
They're not fighting.
Right. They're definitely. Oh, no. So they.
And if the two quarterbacks were fighting, believe me, the defense is not jumping in.
No.
So that's just stupid.
And if the two quarterbacks are fighting, that thing gets broken up so fast. Unless the coaches are like, fine, let him go.
Yeah, whoever wins the fight, they make him a quarterback.
Right. Just
find out who has the quickest left hook.
Right. Okay. We have a ton going on today. Brian Robinson's going to address the media. Serious competition going on out here. Some big money getting spent in Tampa. You're going to hear from Ben Sennett today. Peter Rosenberg will join us. John Keim will join us. Nobody go anywhere.
Bleep you.
Just getting warmed up. We will open the phone lines up for a Bleep You Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Are you tired of those lackluster cooling systems? Well, it's time to switch the route and feel the difference. Thanks to the IRA Act, you can score up to $2,000 in tax credits on select heat pump systems. And Maryland residents, there's exclusive rebates from Rood just for you. Personally, I've upgraded to 3 Rood 18-series inverter heat pumps to stay cool at my house. Rood keeps me comfortable whether I'm chilling at home or hosting game day parties. So beat the heat this season and visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to address my man Travis Wigfall. Travis, I appreciate you listening. Travis says, until the Jets go 12-5 or 13-4, you might want to stop saying that they're a good thing until they actually become a good team. I didn't say they're a good team. I said they have a lot of talent. Last year, their star quarterback blew out his Achilles 4 plays into the season. Yeah. So, I still think they got a lot of talent.
They got enough talent to where I think it'll be a big damn test for us when we go up and practice against them.
I think it's a really good first test.
One-on-one.
And I think if you think about Quentin Williams, if you think about Sauce Gardner, C.J. Mosley, like, they got talent. Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Mike Williams might be – is he practicing? I think he is, right? I think he might have started on PUB. That's the big stud receiver they signed from the Chargers. They have Garrett Wilson. Tyron Smith, who I believe has like 6 all-pro seasons, Dallas left tackle, signed with the Jets. That's a veteran. You know, he's dealt with injury issues. How much time do you get from him?
When he's healthy, he's a baller, though.
B, I was just thinking about this. So they're on today, tomorrow. They're off Saturday. Back on Sunday, Monday.
Probably off Tuesday.
No, I think they're off Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday travel day.
They practice.
No, Monday's off.
Really?
I'll confirm. I mean, they just sent me this.
They're off Saturday, right?
Off, I think off Saturday, off Monday. I got it right here. All right. So yesterday was an off day. On today, on tomorrow, Saturday off, on Sunday, off Monday, Tuesday on. But B, after Tuesday, so then it's a travel day to New York on Thursday, off Friday, game Saturday, off Sunday, travel day, game day, whatever. So then the following week, it's probably the same schedule. Maybe we're on Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, travel day. Then it's Miami practice, off the 16th, game on the 17th, off the 18th. And then I think they're going to give them off that Monday and try to make everything into a normal
week. Are they practicing on 18th?
No, they're traveling back from Miami.
Okay, good.
Because that's your birthday.
Because I wasn't going to be here anyway.
They're practicing. I mean, you're going to be flying back from Miami.
Yeah, probably going to have something in my bag, too.
Well, I'm curious.
I may just stay in Miami.
Well, dude, I'm curious your travel arrangements. Because I'm flying back the morning, right? But I don't get invited onto private jets. Now, that's a late game. That's a 7 o'clock kick, right?
I'll let you know what I'm going to do, Jay, ahead of time.
All right. Maybe we sneak one late night, Saturday night.
We get Duncan down there to meet us, and then we could have Leon take us through Miami.
Listen, man, I got my wife and kids coming. I don't think I can go on that.
No. You won't be
I can't get in that Uber.
Actually, we're going to squash everything I just said. We don't even know you when we're in Miami.
Well, dude, because that Thursday, the joint practice day, is Shelby's birthday. So that's why.
Hey, man, I knew Shelby was my friend, Leo, baby.
So I think what I'm basically saying is, and I know this will sound weird, training camp's kind of almost over. Like the actual 4 days on, 1 day off, the monotony of Ashburn, just being out here in the tent. There are, in the next 3 weeks, almost more travel and away practices games than there are training camp Ashburn practices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you combine that with the Hall of Fame game tonight, like, football is coming, man.
Well, we got to stop saying football is coming. That's a game tonight, dog. Football is here. Listen, soon as the first day of training camp opens and you start smelling that fresh cut grass and you hear the sound of the shoulder pads hitting each other, that's when football's back. I know the real games haven't started yet. But ask any one of those players that have been practicing for a week right now. Well, the damn rookies, damn near 2 weeks. Ask them what they feel now and how it's training camp and how it's football.
And some
of them, it may be coming to an end real close, real soon. Some of them is just starting.
I am with you, Brian. When it comes to the position battles they've got going on out here, and they're obviously pushing competition, and I think we're going to see more roster churn throughout August. Is there a battle, a position that you're most interested in?
I sit and I watch the guys catching punts, and I know most people don't do this. I watch the guys catching punts, and my whole thing is I don't care what position you play, you need to have a legitimate backup. And I watch all the guys catching punts, and if I were their coaches, only one guy would pass. As far as how he catches it and where he's ready to go as soon as the ball is in his hand, and that's Crowder. The rest of them will fail because they're back. They take 2-3 steps back. They take steps to the side. They're catching it square. Then they have to gather, you know. And that is just telling people when you catch that ball, you need to be getting started upfield because the more you allow that coverage team to run closer to you and they get a shorter period to break down in, you're not going to have much success. And the rest of the guys, there are guys, and I'm not going to call out names. I'm watching guys catching balls off the jugs machine, and they can't time the damn ball. If you can't time it off a jugs machine, which is basically like, if you, like when I went down to Richmond to Virginia Beach, yep. They had the Nolan Ryan, the little pitching thing at 104 miles per hour. You know what happens to it? it pitches the same every damn pitch. So if you can't catch up to it, you're crazy. That Judge machine is just shooting the ball like it's a pass. And they cannot, a lot of them can't gather for that. That's a person I don't want back there catching punts whatsoever. So I'm watching that position to see who's going to be the second guy.
Sammerstill, obviously he's going to be.
I haven't seen Mikey back there a lot.
How do you balance, like you specifically, because you knew your role on these teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked about like when Santana would go back there and return. A guy like Sammerstill who you need defensively.
Yeah.
But maybe he helps you in the return game. I mean, he mentioned him as a kick returner too.
It comes when it's a certain level game. But the ultimate thing is I was drafted because they – remember Darryl Green in the playoffs where he ripped his rib?
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I got drafted later and became a kick return, punt returner. Because they didn't want to keep putting him in harm's way. He didn't even get hit on that play.
Right.
He jumped somebody and ripped it. When I got here, D. Green was the first person to tell me, thank you for being here. After returning my first kickoff, he was like, thank you. You can return punts. I'm thinking to myself, return a damn punt? I'm not returning no punts. But the ultimate thing is you don't want to use Mikey unless you have to. So if you can find somebody like a Crowder who's been doing it or somebody else that can become that guy and can be very good at both of them, then you don't have to put those other guys in harm's way. Now, if you get in a situation like Andy would do and he would put Tyreek back there, we're in the playoffs. We need a big play. DeSean Jackson, when the Eagles would do it with Andy. But Andy, again, knowing how to use the best player at the best moment. You do that. But if ultimately you don't want anybody that's going to be having significant playing time starting being your punt returner and kick returner.
It's a balance act. And I think one thing I always say about the NFL is that the margins in this league are razor thin. And, mm-hmm. and something like that where, you know, you need Sammerstill, right? But you also sometimes are going to need a play.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, like if you get a 17-yard punt return and all of a sudden your team has first and 10 at the opponent's 45,
yeah.
You know how much that changes a game?
It changes the game, but I think the time when you want to use those guys, that guy, based off what I'm looking at with Sammerstill, I think he's going to be a player. When you want to use him, it's not in the second game of the season in a situation. It's when you get down the stretch at the end of the year, you need somebody to make a play, playoff time, if you were to happen to make it into a Super Bowl, that's when you want to use that guy. But ultimately, I don't think you want to put him back there.
Let's do this. They brought Riley Patterson in from Jacksonville to increase the competition at kicker. Sometimes, what does Gordon Gekko say? Greed is good. The kickers went live today from 27 33, 37, 47, and 53. So that's 5 kicks each for 2 guys, 10 uh-huh. kicks. How many misses you think?
Of all 3 of them?
Of all 10 of them. Two guys, five kicks each. Including going from 27 to 53.
I'm going to go that they, from 23 to 53 yards?
27 to 33, 37, 47, 53.
They hit all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes competition is
good. Hey, competition is good because you know what? If you miss one, you're done.
Well, you know what just happened to Riley Patterson? He got cut. The Skins were able to sign him on waivers because he was on waivers.
You know what? Getting cut sometimes changes your mindset. I played 10 straight years here. I felt good. I knew what I was doing, everything right. But then somebody runs in and cuts you. The next 3 years became very, very good as I got older. Why? Because you don't get complacent anymore. You don't get comfortable. You always constantly have to work at it. So Riley Patterson was just cut. So little man out here, Mr. Ahmet, he better be ready because you're fighting somebody who's been through it already, who got released and know how that feeling is.
I mean, I think kickers, if you're going to be a kicker in the NFL, you got to have serious thick skin because everybody's getting cut, right? Ahmed, I think, got cut last year by the Packers. He played in one game for the Packers, so I'm sure he was on some practice squads. Riley Peterson has a lot more experience than Ahmed. I mean, physically, they look the exact same. They're both kind of small fellas.
That's the kickers, Jay.
Right. I mean, Patterson has a bigger profile, but you and I said it at 2.5 a week ago. Mm-hmm. The amount of kickers we see come through.
We're at 2 already.
We're already at 2, and it's August 1st. You know what I mean?
So when I took the over, I was right. Right,
we both took it. Like it's August 1st, well, and we're already there.
We could be wrong because Raleigh or Ahmed.
Well, Ahmed.
Either one of those two may get the message right now and say, I'm not releasing this. They may pull a David Akers on us.
I mean,
and be here for the next 10 and a half years.
You know who wants that to happen? Dan Quinn and Izzo.
Hell yeah.
Well, and Izzo coming from that Patriots tree, if Ahmed wins that job, they're not going to be scared to give it to a guy with no experience.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? Like, they are willing to roll the dice. Pack show coming your way. We expect to hear from Brian Robinson shortly. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live as we do during training camp, out from training camp here at Ashburn Park. And guys out there, it was a little toasty out there today. You know, training camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Hinges Window Installation, paulhingeswindows.com. You're clear, home improvement choice. So earlier we were talking a little bit about the punt return and all that type of stuff, and I was just dropping some things from what I'm picking up and recognizing, and I noticed on the chat a lot of the people, they liked it and they wanted to hear it and things of that nature. But, you know, as I sit here on this radio, I try to entertain and talk about the things at point, but every once in a while I will go down that rabbit hole and tell you some things about what I know. It ain't about what I'm thinking or what I'm hearing or what I'm reading, it's what I know. And the thing about that position, for me, I know there are a lot of people out there who like to downplay and poo-poo and shoo-shoo when it comes down to special teams as if it's not important. Hell, it's probably more important than some of this stuff on offense and defense, because if I muff a ball when you punt it at 65, 70 yards, all of a sudden my defense is no longer on the field, okay, because all of a sudden they stop the people, and then I muff it. Their offense is now getting the ball in my in the scoring position, and my defense is back on the field when they didn't relatively get some rest. So when I sit there and I look at the punts, I know a lot of people just look at people catching it and things of that nature. I'm looking at where you lined up, okay? If I see a guy lining up at 50 yards, then I don't think there's a punter ever in the history of football that averaged 50 yards. He might hit 150 every once in a while, but if his average is 42, his average is 44, you line up at that point. And then you should be able to move up or back from that position to try and catch the ball. I watch how people track footballs. When I'm watching guys flat-footed, it does absolutely nothing but piss me off. Because if you're flat-footed, that ball is not going to stop moving, especially when it's a little windy like this today, and especially if you get a guy like Tress Way, who's a left-footed punter. Because left-footed punters put a different spin than the right-footed punter, and what that ball normally does, it normally tails away from you. And if you're flat-footed, I watch a couple of them today, and I don't want to put people's names like that, but the certain returner was flat-footed, and the ball just fell away from him, and it hit right in front of him. The next time he caught one from a jugs machine, and it damn near knocked his helmet off because he wasn't tracking the ball right. And that type of thing, to me, is vitally important. So when we talk about just put this guy back there to return, just because somebody is fast, just because they can catch a ball, means absolutely nothing. You need to be able to catch it, track it, be fast, and have an understanding of when you should and shouldn't do certain things. You know, I had never returned punts in my life. Until I got to the NFL. I never did it in Little League. I never did it in high school. Nothing, because I was like, they are out there, damn mine. I'm not looking up in the sky with somebody coming down to hit. But when they started paying me to do something, and it was a way I had a ticket to make it to the NFL, which was my dream, I began to study it. So I studied Mike Nelms. He didn't fair catch. That's why I didn't fair catch early on. I began to watch Joe Howard Johnson and Walter Stanley on this team. I watched Mel Gray, who was in Detroit. And I began to pick up different things, but then I realized that all of those guys were smaller and shifty. My game was power and speed. So once I caught the ball, I wanted to make sure all of those things was right, because once the ball was in my hand, I understood that. Because I see a hole, my job was to get through hole before it closes, not try to shake and dance. The people, I told the story a couple days ago, and a guy from the Steelers told me that I didn't all he saw me just moving forward all the time. I didn't do a lot of dancing, and I didn't have a lot of shiftiness on the field. And I'm like, what's the problem with that? Okay, if I'm getting first downs, I'm gaining yards all the time. Who cares? So in the NFL, the return guy, if you have Devin Hester speed, Dante Hall speed, you can try and do that reverse field stuff. But you know what? God didn't bless everybody with that. So the person like me, and I ran 4.36 when I first got here, and you just get through the hole as quick as you can. But all the things that happens before the ball is kicked and right when you catch it is way more important than once the ball is in your hand. The most important thing of all, like I said, ball security. But, hell, you can muff a ball. And if you muff the ball, you're putting your defense in a bad situation. You stole an opportunity from your offense. You know, as John Harbaugh and Wayne Sevier both would tell me, that was Wayne was the coach here, John in Philadelphia, if you hand the ball over to the offense after your return, whether it's a 1 yard or 15 or 50 yard, guess what? It's successful. And I think that's what the guys need to be working on more than that. So when I sit here and I tell you the position I'm looking at is the punt return, and I'm sure some people are probably like, what the hell is he talking about? No, it's important. You know, the chunks of yards that you have to deal with, the position that you can take away from your team or give to your team, that is more important than me deciding on who's going to be the tight end, okay? Yes, the tight end position has become great in this league, but normally if you don't have Travis Kelce, okay, if you don't have a Tony Gonzalez type or a Shannon Sharp type, nobody's going to come to the tight end before they go to the other receivers. That tight end is going to be an afterthought. He's going to be more of a blocker. So until we get one of those guys on our team, I'm not looking at the tight end position over that punt return position, because that punt return position, if a mistake happens there, it can hurt you more. If something big happens there, it can help you more. So start paying attention to it and look at it and watch guys when they catch a ball and see how many people backstep, sidestep, and all those different types of things. See if they catch and instantly get upfield, because every moment you take, if you take a second before you start, somebody has gained 10 to 12, possibly 15 yards closer to you, which means you have less space. And if you have less space, when they run closer to you, guess what they do? They bring in your offensive player too. And you got a big crowd, so you don't have a lot of room to work. I always believe in getting up the field immediately, because everybody's going to break down. And when you break down, I can now utilize you. I use like your position and that my blocker in the trail position to where your eyes are playing. I can move a little way, get you to slide. That guy comes up. He doesn't have to even block you. Just body shield you, and I run right past you. It's all that matters. So that is very important, and I will hope that all of us as fans get back to what it used to be in D.C. Special teams was important. Special teams helped us get to playoffs, helped us get through playoffs, helped us win Super Bowls. And if we are going to be the team we want to beat, we're going to need our special teams to be in the top five, but top 10 legitimately, but top five if you want to get there. Kansas City Chiefs, offense is good, defense is good. Every time they won a Super Bowl, they had a special teams play that broke a game open for them or brought them back. So special teams is important. I want us to get back to thinking that way, and don't ever forget it. We mentioned Philly, 106.7 The Fan. We're going to take us a quick break, and when we get back here, we're going to be, got Brian Robinson and Mike Davis are going to be talking to the media at 11 o'clock. I'm sure we'll try to get that if they have it. If not, we have a few more interviews that we have for you we want you to listen to. We'll make sure we bring that to you. We'll be right back. Take care, yourselves. Be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live as we do during training camp, out from training camp here at Ashburn Park. And guys out there, it was a little toasty out there today. You know, training camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. So earlier we were talking a little bit about the punt return and all that type of stuff, and I was just dropping some things from what I'm picking up and recognizing, and I noticed on the chat a lot of the people, they liked it and they wanted to hear it and things of that nature. But, you know, as I sit here on this radio, I try to entertain and talk about the things at point, but every once in a while, I will go down that rabbit hole and tell you some things about what I know. It ain't about what I'm thinking or what I'm hearing or what I'm reading. It's what I know. And the thing about that position for me, I know there are a lot of people out there who like to downplay and poo-poo and shoo-shoo when it comes down to special teams as if it's not important. Hell, it's probably more important than some of this stuff on offense and defense, because if I muff a ball when you punt it 65, 70 yards, all of a sudden my defense is no longer on the field, okay, because all of a sudden they stop the people, and then I muff it. Their offense is now getting the ball in my in the scoring position, and my defense is back on the field when they didn't relatively get some rest. So when I sit there and I look at the punts, I know a lot of people just look at people catching it and things of that nature. I'm looking at where you lined up, okay? If I see a guy lining up at 50 yards, then I don't think there's a punter ever in the history of football that averaged 50 yards. He might hit 150 every once in a while, but if his average is 42, his average is 44, you line up at that point. And then you should be able to move up or back from that position to try and catch the ball. I watch how people track footballs. When I'm watching guys flat-footed, it does absolutely nothing but piss me off. Because if you're flat-footed, that ball is not going to stop moving, especially when it's a little windy like this today, and especially if you get a guy like Tress Way, who's a left-footed punter. Because left-footed punters put a different spin than the right-footed punter, and what that ball normally does, it normally tails away from you. And if you're flat-footed, I watched a couple of them today, and I don't want to put people's names like that, but the certain returner was flat-footed, and the ball just fell away from him, and it hit right in front of him. The next time he caught one from a jugs machine, and it damn near knocked his helmet off because he wasn't tracking the ball right. And that type of thing, to me, is vitally important. So when we talk about just put this guy back there to return, just because somebody is fast, just because they could catch a ball, means absolutely nothing. You need to be able to catch it, track it, be fast, and have an understanding of when you should and shouldn't do certain things. You know, I had never returned punts in my life. Until I got to the NFL. I never did it in Little League. I never did it in high school. Nothing, because I was like, they are out there, damn mine. I'm not looking up in the sky with somebody coming down to hit. But when they started paying me to do something, and it was a way I had a ticket to make it to the NFL, which was my dream, I began to study it. So I studied Mike Nelms. He didn't fair catch. That's why I didn't fair catch early on. I began to watch Joe Howard Johnson and Walter Stanley on this team. I watched Mel Gray, who was in Detroit. And I began to pick up different things, but then I realized that all of those guys were smaller and shifty. My game was power and speed. So once I caught the ball, I wanted to make sure all of those things was right, because once the ball was in my hand, I understood that. Because I see a hole, my job was to get through hole before it closes, not try to shake and dance. The people, I told the story a couple of days ago, and a guy from the Steelers told me that all he saw me just moving forward all the time. I didn't do a lot of dancing, and I didn't have a lot of shiftiness on the field. And I'm like, what's the problem with that? Okay, if I'm getting first downs, I'm gaining yards all the time. Who cares? So in the NFL, the return guy, if you have Devin Hester speed, Dante Hall speed, you can try and do that reverse field stuff. But you know what? God didn't bless everybody with that. So the person like me, and I ran 4.36 when I first got here, and you just get through the hole as quick as you can. But all the things that happens before the ball is kicked and right when you catch it is way more important than once the ball is in your hand. The most important thing of all, like I said, ball security. But, hell, you can muff a ball. And if you muff the ball, you're putting your defense in a bad situation. You stole an opportunity from your offense. You know, as John Harbaugh and Wayne Sevier both would tell me, Wayne was the coach here, John in Philadelphia, if you hand the ball over to the offense after your return, whether it's a 1 yard or 15 or 50 yard, guess what? It's successful. And I think that's what the guys need to be working on more than that. So when I sit here and I tell you the position I'm looking at is the punt return, and I'm sure some people are probably like, what the hell is he talking about? No, it's important. You know, the chunks of yards that you have to deal with, the position that you can take away from your team or give to your team, that is more important than me deciding on who's going to be the tight end. Okay? Yes, the tight end position has become great in this league. But normally, if you don't have Travis Kelce, okay, if you don't have a Tony Gonzalez type or a Shannon Sharp type, nobody's going to come to the tight end before they go to the other receivers. That tight end is going to be an afterthought. He's going to be more of a blocker. So until we get one of those guys on our team, I'm not looking at the tight end position over that punt return position, because that punt return position, if a mistake happens there, it can hurt you more. If something big happens there, it can help you more. So start paying attention to it and look at it and watch guys when they catch a ball and see how many people backstep, sidestep, and all those different type of things. See if they catch and instantly get upfield. Because every moment you take, if you take a second before you start, somebody has gained 10 to 12, possibly 15 yards closer to you, which means you have less space. And if you have less space, when they run closer to you, guess what they do? They bring in your offensive player too. And you got a big crowd, so you don't have a lot of room to work. I always believe in getting up the field immediately, because everybody's going to break down. And when you break down, I can now utilize you. I utilize your position and that my blocker in a trail position to where your eyes are playing. I can move a little way, get you to slide. That guy comes up. He doesn't have to even block you. Just body shield you, and I run right past you. That's all that matters. So that is very important, and I will hope that all of us as fans get back to what it used to be in D.C. Special teams was important. Special teams helped us get to playoffs, helped us get through playoffs, helped us win Super Bowls. And if we are going to be the team we want to be, we're going to need our special teams to be in the top five, but top 10 legitimately, but top five if you want to get there. Kansas City Chiefs, offense is good, defense is good. Every time they won a Super Bowl, they had a special teams play that broke a game open for them or brought them back. So special teams is important. I want us to get back to thinking that way, and don't ever forget it. We mentioned Philly, 106.7 The Fan. We're going to take us a quick break. And when we get back here, we're going to be got Brian Robinson and Mike Davis are going to be talking to the media at 11 o'clock. I'm sure we'll try to get that if they have it. If not, we have a few more interviews that we have for you we want you to listen to. We'll make sure we bring that to you. We'll be right back. Take care, yourselves.